Okay, so we spoke last week. We spoke last week about how to check out a prospective date, how to do research, the importance of doing research, find a friend who has Facebook and uses account to, I assume you don't, right? To access and see the information. And we also had a slight discussion on should a person search for a girl who comes from an Orthodox home, an observant home, what they call an FFB, from birth. The advantages and the disadvantages of dating a girl with that background. I want to touch on one other point before we go into the actual dating and relationship. And this point is relevant throughout, and it's what we would call blind spots. When you're driving, they teach you that if you look to the mirror on your right, everywhere but England, right? If you're driving on the left side of the car, you look to the mirror on your right, so there can be a car just behind the mirror where you won't see it. You won't see it in the mirror, and you won't see it when you look. You have to actually turn your head to look. And on your left side, when you look in the mirror, there can also be a car right there where you won't see it unless you actually look. But through the mirror, you have a blind spot. There are places you won't see in the mirror. So the same is true in our lives. We have blind spots. And different people have different blind spots. For one person, a girl that has a fabulous smile wins his heart, and he forgets anything else about her. For another guy, a girl that has a great sense of humor. And for a third guy, a girl that comes into the date with $20 million in her pocket. Mm-hmm. And for a fourth guy, it's a girl whose father is the chief rabbi of the country. All of these are things that happen, maybe not to you, but each one has, we're all touched by certain things that cause us to have a blind spot. And we have to be aware of those blind spots. It could be that the girl comes in with $20 million and her father's the chief rabbi and all the blind spots are there, but she's still the right girl for you. She's going to marry someone, so it could be she's the right girl for you. The blind spot doesn't mean she's the wrong girl for you. The blind spot just means you have to take a step back and ask yourself, am I being blinded? When you drive a car, they teach you if a car is coming opposite you with their brights on, so then don't try to look straight at it. You won't be able to see. Look down to the right. The car in the opposite lane is with its brights on. You look down and to the right, and that way you'll be able to pass the blinding light in peace. Well, the same is true when you're dating. If you're being blinded, you have to look away a little bit. You have to consult with friends. You have to try and get an impartial view. You have to take time. And this leads us into the next question of how many dates should you date a girl? So here there's a big ongoing machlokis between me and my boss. Rabbi Listman has his views, which he can present in his class. And I believe that a student of Machon Meir should not get engaged or married, should not get engaged in less than 30 dates and preferably 40. And I often say, if you're going to get married, just don't invite me to the wedding. I don't want to be there. Under 30 dates, you know how many times students have come into the office and told me after 4 dates or after 5 dates, that's it, I've met the right girl, it's amazing. And I say, how many times have you dated her? And they say, 3 dates, 4 dates, 5 dates, 6 dates. And I say, let's see. And I can tell you that most of them, by the time they hit day 12, there's no more day 12. By day 9, 10, 11, it's very clear it's not the right one. Very often a person can get very excited in the beginning of a relationship, and it's not real. You don't yet know who the person is. So you'll ask me, but there are Hasidim who get married after 1 date or no date. I have such a chavrusa. So I always had a different answer, but then I spoke to this Chavrusa this past year, and he gave me such insights that it changed my mind. Like I always said, the reason they can do it so quickly is because, firstly, they do tremendous research. Secondly, 90% of what we have to discuss on a date is decided for them. It's you don't have to discuss what the husband's role in the marriage is, because it's decided. You don't have to discuss what a wife's role in the marriage is, that's already decided. You don't have to discuss where you're sending your kids to education, because that's decided. There's very little to discuss. By us, you come out of Machon Meir, we have to discuss. Do you plan on learning Torah? Do you not plan? Are you going to learn an hour a day? 10 hours a day. Do you want your wife to work? Do you want your wife at home? Do you want to live in Eat Nachlut? Do you want to live in Jerusalem? Do you believe in the peace process? Do you believe in settlements? Everything's open. There's nothing predefined when you walk into a date. Which rabbi are you going to go by? Who's your rabbi? Who's your local Orthodox rabbi? Because that can change everything you do. Does your rav hold that Ashkenazim should eat kitniot on Pesach? Most don't, but there are far out opinions. But nothing's a given when you walk into a date. And when a person is chozer b'tshuva or ager, So a person has a rich background that they're coming with, and that's a part of who a person is. And even though we don't say you should go into all the nitty-gritty of your past, but you do have to see that the girl that you're going to marry matches who you are. Part of who you are is where you've come from. A person's building a new life. That's wonderful. But they're still a whole person. And so it takes time. It takes time for you to understand her, for her to understand you. You can't do that in 2 dates or 5 dates or 7 dates. If you come from the Hasidic circles where there's very, very little left to talk about until the date, everything's been uncovered and everything's been decided for you. There's a way of life. It's like you live in the shtetl. My grandmother told me she came home one day and saw the table set for Shabbos. She said, it's a weekday. Why is the table set for Shabbos? And her parents said, Mazel Tov. And she said, what's the simcha? And they said, you're a kala. And she said, really, to who? And they said, get dressed in your Shabbos outfit. You're about to find out. That was my grandmother. She should live and be well. They told her Mazel Tov when she walked through the front door. And that's how she met her chassan, right? She was going to have her first date after they've already decided who she's going to marry. Okay, it was a different world in the shtetl. We're not in the shtetl anymore, and our views, our viewpoints are broad. There's a lot to discuss in the dating. There's a lot to understand and share with one another. It takes time. So I said, Rabbi Listman is of a different opinion, and you're welcome to discuss with him his opinion. He believes that people, even in Mechon Meir, can get engaged in less time. You don't have to take so many dates. He disagrees with me, and I respect that. I just disagree with it.
How many? 6?
Ask him. I don't think he'd say 6, but he thinks that my number 3040 is a big number, and I think it's a big number too. But I got a phone call, it's already almost a decade ago. We had a student who learned here, and he was dating a girl, and after 8 or 9 dates she said, why are we still dating? And he said, I learned by Rabbi Frankenthal. He said 30 dates. And I always say, you could blame me, it's fine. So she went to her rabbi. She went to a seminary in Bnei Brak. And her rabbi said, tell the guy that he has another 2 dates. If he wants to get engaged in the next 2 dates, then that's fine. And if not, then you're not continuing. You're not going to be his girlfriend. Yes or no? So the girl comes back to the guy on the date. The guy calls me up from the date. And I tell the guy, tell the girl, to tell the rabbi that I'll be happy to talk to him. That you're doing what I said. She's doing what he said. And you're doing what I said. And I'll be happy to talk to him. So let's talk. Instead of exploding the shidduch, let's talk. So the rabbi says, fine. And the next night we talk, and I said to him, here are the halachic authorities in Bnei Brak who back what I said. I'll give you the names of the courts in Bnei Brak that agree with what I said, that a person who's chozer b'tshuva, it's not because he's from Mechon Meir, here's the Bnei Brak poskim who say what I've said. Who says what you said? I'll get back to you. I said, okay. He calls me back the next night. He was honest. He said, you're right. He went and checked it with his rabbis. And they said to him, a person who's chozer b'tshuva, even if right now they're totally charedi, they have more to discuss on the date. And you can't rush them and tell them, you have like every other person in Bnei Brak, you have till date 9, 10, or 11. And then you better cut it. And they're married today, that couple. They're married till today. Her rabbi was honest.
How many dates did they go on?
I don't remember. I assume they hit 30. I always say it doesn't have to take a long time. If you date 2 or 3 times a week, so how long does it take? In 1 month, you've done 12 dates. By the time you have a question, you're at date 11. So it takes you another month, another 6 weeks. It's not a long time. Okay, so now we come into the actual dating, what we're going to do. Number one, you're going to check her, she's going to check you, and then you're going to agree to go out, and then you have to call her. So call her, don't SMS, be a gentleman, you know, it's a real conversation. When you want to meet, right? When you meet, you may meet when? No. This isn't your first conversation is where you're setting the stage. This isn't a telegram. You're going to call, you're going to have a conversation. When should you call? So it's good to ask the shadchan, when's a good time to call? In some circles, if you're going to date a girl, not from the Dati Lumi circle, so then it's acceptable that you set up your first date through the shadchan. You don't talk directly to the girl. And in some circles, like in Chutz La'aretz, there are many places where you don't talk to the girl until it's really serious, until date 10 or 12, you don't set up the date between you and her. You always go back to the shadchan. okay, so you have to know the norms of the girl you're dating. In the Dati Lumi circles, it's accepted that from the first date you talk to her, it has a disadvantage that when you have to break up, you have to break the news to her. It's much harder. If you work through the shadchan, so yes, yes, no, no, it's much easier. You don't have to tell the girl anything. But even in the other circles, when the connection becomes more serious, so then the couple do set up the dates between themselves. So we're going to work with the Dati Lumi norm. I'm just saying, if you're dating a girl from Chutz Laretz or from a different background, then ask the shadchan how the girl wants to run it. What's the norm where she comes from? In Israel, in the Dati Lumi crowd, it's accepted that you do not pick up the girl from her home. In Chutz Laretz and in other crowds, it's a given that you show up to the home. And in some crowds, you show up to the home and you get an interview by your parents. You have to know the norms of the crowd you're dating. I'm saying, again, in the Dati Lumi crowd, you make up a place, you meet there. So, your first phone conversation, you're going to call it a decent hour. Decent hour means not past 9:30 at night. Okay? And it means most of the time, by day, she's in school, she's at work. You could ask the shadchan when's a good time to call her. You could call her and ask her if it's a convenient time for her to talk. Maybe she's in the middle of a tramp. Maybe she's driving a car, you're on Diburit, and all her friends are hearing you. You're on the speakerphone. So before you start the conversation, introduce yourself. Hi, it's Joe Schmo. When would be a good time for us to talk? And she might tell you, like the first girl I called did, and say, you're who? Nathaniel Frankenthal, and who gave you my number? Right, that was a pretty bad experience. The shadchan forgot to tell the girl that he spoke to the girl months ago and then told me, yeah, she's waiting for your call. And I call up and she has no clue who I am. I said, I'm sorry, there's a misunderstanding here. Never mind. I called back the shadchan, right? Right, whatever. Back, that doesn't usually happen. Usually she might not know you by name. Could be she's dated another 10 or 20 guys. Your name doesn't ring a bell. You could say, so-and-so gave me your number. That's not what should happen. Most of the times that won't happen, but you'll ask her, when's a convenient time to talk? What you're trying to do in the first phone conversation is set up a location for the first date and maybe have some small talk, which is a little hard because you don't know one another yet. So what you might want to discuss is the person who set you up. How do you know them? How do they know them? Usually it's going to be hard to have small talk. The first conversation can be a minute or 2 minutes. If you guys go off and talk for another hour, that's fine. I strongly recommend you don't do a lot of dating through the phone. It's not a real way to connect to someone, and we'll get back to that soon. So you're setting up your first location. Nowadays, people have cell phones. Assuming you have a cell phone and she has a cell phone, you can make up any place that's convenient. How do you choose a place to date? So in Israel, in the Dati Lumi crowd, again, it's accepted that you go to a coffee shop. It's accepted that you go for a walk in a park. It's accepted that you don't take her out for a full-fledged meal. If you're going to date a girl from a different background or in Chutz Laretz, then check out the social norms. Ask the shadchan. In some places, if you don't take her out to dinner, you're a cheapskate. I once compared notes with my brother who dated in the United States. And we came up that all my dating, and I dated over 50 girls, all my dating cost me, I think, total two of his dates. Two dates. Meaning he dated one girl twice. He paid between gas and parking and a meal and taking her home and everything. He paid more than I paid. All my dates. And I wasn't skimpy. I always offered the girl a drink. I always bought something. But it's not expected. In the Dati Lumi crowd, it's not expected that you're going to do more than buy her a cup of tea or a drink. How much is that going to cost you? 20 shekel? In general, as you're dating. Again, check out with the shadchan, because social norms change. I don't want to mislead you. It could be, if you're dating a more modern girl, there are some crowds where they expect a meal. Check with the shadchan what the norm is. I'm saying, and when I was dating in Merkaz Arav, this was the norm. Have things changed in the last 15 years? Could be. Do your homework. Ask the shadchan what she's expecting. But my experience is, if you go to a hotel lobby and you buy her a drink, you buy yourself a drink, you're fine. Come to a date with money. She should not be. Yes, you'd be surprised. Not just a credit card. Come to a date with money, and you'd be surprised. Things happen, and suddenly you find yourself you need something. Come with a clean shirt. And don't just come with a sweater. I made this mistake. didn't have time to iron the shirt, threw on a sweater. We ended up sitting, it was a cold, wintry day. We ended up sitting inside a broiling place and I'm dripping. And she's like, aren't you hot? Don't you want to take off that sweater? And no, I'm fine. Right? Sure, I'm fine. Yes, I couldn't take off the sweater, right? So iron your shirts. And when you choose a place to date, I think a place should have a few components. Number one, you don't want to bump into all your friends. Don't take the girl out to the park right here, okay? Don't go somewhere where you're going to meet everyone, okay? Number two, don't go where she'll meet all her friends. If she lives on the corner of Eliezer Alevi, don't take her out to that pizza shop there, right? Take her out to a place that's neutral. Number three, should have a bathroom nearby. You might need it. She might need it. I think it's a good component. That's why I don't like gun soccer, because there's no bathroom there. Number four, I think it's a good idea to go to a place where she won't feel threatened. So in gun soccer, there are many dogs running loose. Most girls are not so comfortable around loose dogs. That's another good reason not to go to gun soccer. If you're going to take her to a tour of a place where she doesn't feel safe, so I'm not sure that's a good idea. Next, I think it's a good idea when you choose a place, the place you should buy her a drink. So the place should be a place where you can buy a drink. If you're going to someplace, you're going to go hiking in Matsada, I don't know, bring along food and drink and make it available. And finally, we have the halachic component. You have to make sure wherever you're going, you don't have a problem of yichud. You're not allowed to go to a place where you're going to be alone and you know that no one's going to show up any minute. I dated a girl. She took me to the entrance of Shaarei Tzedek Hospital. I didn't know that at 9 o'clock at night, they closed that entrance, and they opened two floors down the entrance, and that floor becomes a dead zone. No one comes in. So we're sitting there in the date, and it's around 10:30, 11 o'clock, and I ask her, you know, I haven't noticed anyone walking by lately. Why is it so quiet? We're in a hospital, right? It's a public building. And she says, oh, I forgot to tell you, they locked this door now. No one comes here now. Now the floor is dead. I said, you know, I think this isn't right. There are laws of Yichud. We're not supposed to be here if you're telling me no one's going to come here. She didn't let me finish the sentence. She was up and running. What did I say? She said, I'll meet you two floors down. I said, okay, I'll meet you two floors down. Fine. But that's the halacha. I'm saying you're not supposed to be in a place where you know. If you know, the truth is there was a window outside. Anyone who walks up and checks if that door is open sees inside. Whatever, but I didn't know that then. You know, suddenly she tells me no one comes to the floor. So I said, then we shouldn't be here. So you got to figure that out. You want to go on a hike to lift, that's not a bad idea. But when you walk down the path, if you continue down the path, you reach places where you can be assured that for the next 25 minutes, no one's showing up. That's not proper. Same thing if you're going to go hiking in the Jerusalem forest. There are places where you know, different times a year, you're going to end up being alone. So where are good places to go? So the date should not be your exercise regimen. I had a girl once who, the whole date, we were walking up and down Beit Vegan. And I was tired. I said, you want to sit down? She said, no. She dumped me. It was one date. She dumped me at the end of that date. And I sort of got the feeling that she was using the date to exercise. You know, that's not fair. A date is... Now, how do you ask a girl, do you want to sit down? So if you ask it that way, do you want to sit down? So she feels like, oh, for me? No, never mind. I'm okay. So maybe we'll sit down. You suggested in a way that she feels comfortable sitting down. So we're choosing a place where we don't have a problem. Yichud, a place where hopefully we can sit. Where can you go? So you have many, many places to go. I personally like going to places like the Shuk, like Ben Yehuda. Not at night when it's immodest, but by day. Because all kinds of things happen. I don't like sterile dates. It's not good if you're going to a hotel lobby where nothing happens and you don't get to see the person dealing with real life. You go to Ben Yehuda and you have to deal with the beggar who comes up and won't let go. She bumps into a friend who happens to be there and suddenly she has to deal with you and the friend. And you see her deal with life. It's not a bad thing. Even though I said not to go right next to her apartment, but it's not bad to go to places where things happen. I like going to the Old City. I think the Old City is a great place. You walk around, you see. I personally liked going on a date to Mea Shearim and Geula. Not the main street where there are stores. The back streets where there are parks. So the advantage is, as you sit by a park, you can discuss the educational situations that arouse before you. I was on one date where a girl got hit and started bleeding. And the mother ran away. The mother got scared by the blood and ran away from her own child. So we're in the middle of a date. Boy, was that a topic to talk about. You know, we're on the date and we see a kid bleeding. I went to help, but they shooed me away. There's a bunch of ladies there dealing with the child. And when I came back, there's something to talk about. You watch kids. You see how they leave one kid out. They include a kid in the game. Part of your dating is to understand that you're compatible as parents. Very often in dating, we forget that we're marrying Be'ezrat Hashem, the future parent of our children. And we focus on, is she good for me? It's not only is she good for me, is she going to be the right parent for my children? And that, when you go to parks and you watch children, so then you have topics to talk about. You see how the children behave to one another. You speak about how you deal with scenarios as parents, what you've been through as children. So that's why I like going on dates. Also, in Mea Shearim, you see a life that's different than the life you know about. It's worth talking about. You get to see how open she is. How does she view Jews who are not exactly the way she is? So those are a few suggestions. I don't see anyone writing down, so I'm not so interested in telling you more suggestions. I figure you'll just forget them. Should I give you a bunch of more suggestions? Yeah, okay. Say that. So just as you walk into Romeima, on your left side, there's the Magen David Adom, and just behind that, there's a tayelet, there's a walkway, where you could walk and have a very nice view and a place to sit down. So that's a nice place for a date. When you go down here outside the Machon, if you make a left turn and let's take where the Shul Ol Yitzchak is? Mm-hmm. So just behind the Shul there are steps that go down, or the easier route, you could go down to Herzl, go with the train tracks till you hit the light, which divides in four directions. You have a sharp right onto Farbstein, straight ahead to Herzl, a slight left to Beit HaKeren Street, and a sharp left to Achalutz. You take the sharp left to Achalutz, you go down there, after a 5-minute walk, there's a huge park where you can walk, and it's pretty desolate. You don't have a problem of Yichud, but you don't see a lot of people there. I'm saying you see just enough. So that's another nice park. If you go in the same direction and continue into Beit HaKeren, on your right side, there's a very nice big park called Beit HaKeren Park. That's also a beautiful place to walk around. The Chalutz Park and the Beit HaKeren Park, they don't have a public bathroom. Chalutz might. And they don't sell any drinks or anything. So that's, you got to go to a makolet nearby or something, or on your way there, pick something up. There's the windmill next to the Kotel, next to the old city. So over there is a very nice, romantic, it's a very nice place to sit down and buy a drink. You get a beautiful view. So we discussed the old city, we discussed Beit HaKeren, we discussed the other side of Beit HaKeren, and Mea Shearim, Romeima. There's the hike on Lifta, but you got to figure out how far you could go before you run into a problem of Yichud. And then there's also a hike right here, Cross from Angels. There's a short hike. I'm giving you stuff that's very easy and local. But over there also, you have to factor when you're running into a problem of Yichud. Right next to the zoo, which is very expensive for a date, right next to the zoo there's a hike called Ein Lavan, which part of the hike you can do on the main street. So again, you don't run into a problem of Yichud, I think. I was only there once. But that's another nice hike. Again, you run into a problem, you have to buy drinks before you go down that road. You won't find anything there. Okay, you show up to the first date. What do you discuss on the first date? So I recommend... This is me. You do what you want. But I always forget people's names. So I would leave a little note with the girl's name, like, somewhere accessible. So I can remind myself. It's not nice to be on the date and not know her name. I recommend showering before you go to the first date. I recommend shaving. I recommend...
Deodorant?
I recommend turning your cell phones off. I think it's very impolite when you're on a date, if you're talking to other people. You're with her, be with her. If you're the prime minister, I understand you can't shut your cell phone. None of you have told me you're prime minister of any states. I think you could shut your cell phones. It's important. You're on a date, be with her. I think that it's good to show up to a date well rested. We approach people differently. On your first date, it's easy to be optimistic. On your 50th, it's harder. If you feel you're getting tired of dating, take a break. And I would go to a date, I'd take a piece of chocolate under my tongue, just sucking on that chocolate on the way to the date to try and remind myself that things are sweet, even though they didn't feel so sweet. You date another girl, and another girl, another girl, and you always have to be positive. I would listen to music on my way to the date, just to get my spirits up, to walk into the date optimistic. Because at some point, it gets hard to be optimistic. So it's you have to be optimistic. You're showing up to the first date. In the beginning, the first date is very important. The first few girls you date, so assuming that those girls haven't been around the block, so then the first date is where you start getting a picture of the person. I don't think you should ask very personal questions. You're going to ask general questions. Where did she grow up? Where did she study? What did she do Shirut Lumi if she did national service in Israel? What is she studying now? And from there, you let the conversation evolve. Do not show up with a checklist. The classic mistake that people make when they start dating is they have this checklist of what I want her to match, and then they start asking questions. So, how much do you want your husband to learn? And in your mind, there's a mental check or X. And how much do you plan on working? And how much time do you think parents have to be with their children? And when there's a contradiction between the relationship between us and our parents and us and our children, and how do you think your Shabbos table should look like? That's not a fun date. A date is not an interview. On a date, the conversation should flow. Now, rule number one on a date, don't get scared of silence. It's an important rule. Sometimes people get very scared if there's quiet time. There can be quiet time. You don't have to be uptight. You don't have to say something stupid just because it's quiet and uncomfortable. Keep walking. Sometimes that's where it's better to walk than sit. Because if you're sitting opposite one another and you have nothing to say, it gets very uncomfortable. You don't know where to put your eyes. You don't know what to do with yourself. Suddenly you feel self-conscious. Your nose feels like it's sticking out of your face. Everything is uncomfortable. So it does. That's true. Our nose does stick out of our face. That's true. But the advantage of walking on a date is you don't feel like you're only focused on one another. It's important, by the way, on the dates not to always go to the same place. This is my favorite place. No, I've never bothered thinking of anywhere else. Change location. Sometimes the location brings out different aspects in us. Right here in Givat Ram, there's the university, by the way, right? The university has a public library. The public library is free. On the ground floor of the public library is a museum that's also free. And sometimes that museum has very interesting things. There was a time where they had a showcase of ksubos, ancient ksubos. There was a time that they had a showcase of ancient Sifrei Torah. So the showcase on the bottom floor of the library in the University of Givat Ram sometimes has very interesting things. They have a constant museum on Einstein. Just be careful. I once went out on a date and so I went up to see the Einstein exhibit with the girl, and she started yawning. So I thought she must be really tired. And after about 2 minutes, I understood she had zero interest in Einstein. And that ended the date. We went outside and watched the flowers. So that's another good thing over there. You have beautiful, beautiful flowers. They really have it, and there's a bridge that connects you to Gan Avradim, that connects you to the Rose Garden. So you have what to look at, yeah, and you can just sit there. It's a beautiful place to be. And it's free entrance, again. So that's the University on Givat Ram. On that campus, you want to go to the library. There's the Sifriya Lumit. The National Library is there.
I don't know where Givat Ram is next to it, right?
It's right here. Look on a map.
It's by the Museum Road.
By the Museum Road, yeah. Okay, so I recommend not going into highly charged topics on your first date. Don't discuss politics. Don't discuss Kahana, Netanyahu, Obama, Trump, Clinton. Let the first date ride. If you're dating a girl that's over 22, 23, then the first date is something she just wants to get over with, because she's been with so many guys who dumped her after her first date that the first date she has a hard time opening up. So the first date is just to get through the first date so you can get to the second date. Basically on the date, you're spending time together, you're seeing it's nice to be together. I don't think you have to reach any decisions on the date. Very often people spend the date deciding, do I or don't I want to continue there? Be with the person. At the end of the date, you'll analyze what happened. Sometimes you walk into the date and you tell yourself, oh no, this is going to be a bomb. Even the first conversation, by the way, don't gauge a girl based on her phone voice. Some of the nicest girls have horrible phone voices. It doesn't mean she's not a nice person. It means nothing. So don't gauge anything. One of the things that happens is people will sometimes gauge the other party based on what they heard on the phone. You know nothing based on her phone voice. Don't come into it biased. And with this, I'll end for tonight. There was a young lady who dated a guy her first date, and then she couldn't decide whether he'd gone on a second date or not, and she decided yes. They agreed on a second date. She had to go out for the second date. She calls me up and says, you know I agreed to go out with this guy on a second date, but I decided it's pointless. What should I do now? I said, the guy left his yeshiva, and he's traveling, and in a half hour he's going to be in Jerusalem because you told him you're going on a second date. Are you so sure that it's pointless? There can't be anything good will come out of this date? She thought for a minute. She said, maybe I'll marry him. Yeah, it could be. I don't think so, but it could be. I said, now's not the time to cancel the date. You have to, you already agreed, he's already traveling, go to the date. You can't do that to him. So she said, fine. And she said, boy, I got to run. Okay, we hang up the phone, and then I call her back. I said, wait. She said, well, wait, I'm running late. I said, no, I need you to pause. You have to give me 2 minutes now of your time. Okay, what do you want? I said, I want you to stop and think clearly. Can you marry the person? You said yes. So then do a switch in your mind and walk into the date optimistic. You got nothing to lose. You're dating him anyways. So you have to pause and put yourself on a neutral mode where you're walking into that date positive. And better you show up 2 minutes late to the date, but you walk into the date with a positive outlook than just show up and waste his time. And the rest is history. I've circumcised some of their kids. They're happily married. The rest is history. My point is our viewpoint walking into the date is pivotal. It's very important that before you walk into a date, you prepare yourself, your mindset. Sometimes a comment, something you saw on her Facebook page, something you heard on the phone, makes you think it's not it. If you're dating her, walk in positive. And you'd be surprised. I would not judge a girl. You sometimes show up to a date and you think her looks aren't attractive to you. You'll decide that by the end of the date. You don't have to decide that now. We're going to discuss, we'll start the next class with a discussion of how do you decide if to date her a second time or to end the connection. Today what we discussed was blind spots. Everyone has blind spots, to be careful of blind spots. We discussed the way you set up a first date, the location, the components of the location, the importance of the laws of Yichud. And we discussed when you show up to the first phone conversation and the first date that you're basically trying to find out her... who she is, who her family is, where she's come from. We're not necessarily going through a checklist. On the contrary, we're letting the conversation ride. We're not scared of silent patches in our conversation. That's normal. Any two people that spend many hours together will have silent time in their time together. That's fine. That's a benefit of walking during a date as opposed to sitting facing one another. We discussed changing the locations of the date, not to always be sitting in the same place looking at one another. And the... next time we'll discuss how you decide whether to date her again and how to move forward with the relationship. So now we